So what if instead of focusing on trying to figure out alcohol, you tried to figure out yourself? You learned how to do all of the things that you think alcohol is doing for you, but better. You tapped into really understanding what the messages from your body meant and how to use your emotions to your advantage and how to really expand your desires to get what it is you finally really want and have real, lasting, sustainable pleasure. That is possible for you, and it is all available to you in the self-study course, The Naturally Sober Woman. It is everything that I teach my one-on-one clients, but it is compact for you. Lifetime access on demand at a super affordable price available to you right now. You're going to go to my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. Right there, it'll say self-study course, or follow the link in the show notes right here. Get in there. One short video, just the welcome ceremony. There's a beautiful commencement ceremony that really anchors you into your intention for wanting to make this change into your life, will change your life forever. It'll put you on a trajectory of new possibility, because the bigger your desire is, the easier it's going to be to say goodbye to alcohol. So go on over to my website, get inside of The Naturally Sober Woman, and I will see you in there. Welcome, welcome. My name is Mary Wagstaff. I am a holistic alcohol coach who ended a 20-year relationship to alcohol without labels, counting days, or ever making excuses. Now I help women just like you from around the world do the same with my one-on-one private coaching program. In this podcast, we will explore my revolutionary approach to getting alcohol out of your way that breaks all the rules, life-enhancing tools that make not drinking exciting and joyful, and the profound and sacred journey that it is to rediscover who you are on the other side of alcohol. This show is not a substitution for rehabilitation, medical treatment, or advice, so please talk to a medical professional if your alcohol consumption is at risk to your mental or physical health. Now on with the show. Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for being here for another episode of Stop Drinking and Start Living. I am so thrilled to have a very special guest on today. She is so means so many things to me, an acquaintance, a colleague, a friend, and a client. And I'm just so excited to have all of her magical wisdom here to share with you. Nora Rochelle, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. This is so awesome. I love you.
Yeah, I love you. It's so awesome. I know, it's like the best. I love having this show and just being able to, you know, connect in this different way is really fun. So how I always start the interviews is for you just to tell the audience about what is the most magical thing about your life right now.
I love that question. There's so many things. Oh my gosh. Honestly, my daughter, she's just such a light right now, and she's 5, and we're having so much fun together, and we just did yoga, and I was her horse, you know, for a few rides when I was in Cat Cow, and that was great. But she's so sweet. Like, she did Breath of Fire with me. Like, she's so willing to try things and has no inhibitions. And it's just so awesome.
I love that. That's so beautiful. I'll just show you guys this bee breath that we did last night. It was really funny. Yes. Inspired through innocence is just like the best thing ever. What I would like to do is get into a little bit of your background around, you know, kind of your journey with alcohol. And the thing I'm really excited to talk to you most about on the show also is that, you know, and we'll probably just get into it, is that how everyone's relationship with alcohol looks so different. And I really think that your story kind of exemplifies how it doesn't have to be this big problem in life, but you know, that there's some block in the way that's an invitation to something deeper. So with that being said, yeah, just tell us a little bit about kind of how things started for you. And
I was probably 14. Yeah, And my parents got divorced and I never wanted to be at home. And my first introduction was like, I think at Christmas time with my boyfriend at the time, who was like, oh, you know, we were soulmates. and there was just some like weird mix of something that was like a bunch of different stolen alcohols in a water bottle. And it was disgusting. It was so gross. It was purple. I don't know why it was purple. There's no alcohol that's purple, maybe other than maybe wine. Like it was really bad. But in the moment, it felt very magical. It felt very like partaking of something transcendent. And there was snow and there was four-wheeling involved, which is probably not so safe. And I was just like a young teenager, just being free and having fun. That's what it was for me.
Yeah. So how did that kind of continue on through your life, and how did it continue to show up for you and even support you throughout your life?
Yeah. I think that those themes that I brought up, like I didn't want to be at home. I was searching for like freedom and fun and kind of an escape, but I wouldn't have called it that. And I'm not sure if that's what I would call it. It was more of like a looking for something. It was a searching. And in that, I kept finding like small reward here and there, right? Like maybe I would drop my inhibitions and have a conversation with somebody that maybe I otherwise wouldn't have had because of other like self-esteem issues or like feeling insecure about like, is this okay to talk about or whatever. And there was also this like shyness that I had growing up. So it kind of helped me to come out of that shyness and just be really confident. So there was like that help too. And I feel like one of my core values in life that I've since then discovered is freedom and just being my creative present self. That was something that was actually a lot blocked when I was young because of trauma. So the more I was working through healing my trauma, the need for alcohol like left, but I kept still doing it because that pattern was there to just do it. But I didn't really even need it anymore for what I was searching for. It almost like had the opposite effect where in recent years, if I would drink, I'd actually become very quiet and actually like shut down. It would be like the opposite of what it was when I started. So that was a big clue for me where I was like, I don't know if I really need this, but I mean, it's fun and that's what everybody does for fun. So yeah, there was a lot there. I think of just like, this is the normal thing that everybody does. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it definitely went too far, but I think that's kind of like a Sagittarian thing. Like a lot of things sometimes go too far. Like sometimes I'll eat too much cake, you know, like the too muchness can like, it exploded kind of into everywhere of my life. So like in general, I've been learning like discrimination and moderation, just like in general. I think the yogic path really, really saved me. Like really, really helped me with that self-awareness of like, oh, I don't necessarily need this like thing outside of me. It's like, oh, I can breathe. I can do this movement practice and I can completely shift my state of awareness and I can achieve that like transcendence that I realized that I was searching for, that I would definitely not have had the verbiage for that when I was a teenager. And I didn't really have any role models who were exemplifying that for me.
Yeah. Was alcohol present for you in your family life?
It was, but it was always a little bit of, there was a little bit of shame around it, I think. Like my mom would emphasize that it was like not okay for me to drink, but that you could do it when you're 19, because 19 is the legal drinking age in Canada. But like for me, the issue when I was a teenager, it was because I was doing it too young and it was like not socially appropriate. it wasn't coming from a space of like, oh, that's not really good for you. It was more like, that's illegal kind of thing. So I kind of had like interestingly mixed messages, but it wasn't like super present. My mom would probably have like wine with dinner. Anytime I went to a function though, like a birthday party, Christmas, any holiday where everybody got together in the family, there was always drinking, always, 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 like without a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that you like, you can't do this. It's not bad for you, but when you're an adult, it's okay. Right. So, and this is what you do as an adult, right? In these specific settings. So one of the things that kind of just stood out to me that you were talking a little bit about was this searching. Can you talk a little bit about more about your understanding of what that is now? Because I find this is such a crucial piece for people that develop a strong relationship with alcohol, but it can be in so many other various this areas. So talk to me a little bit.
I think ultimately searching for purpose, searching for meaning and connection, kind of this like trifecta of all of those things, like purpose, meaning, connection, just to not feel alone in the universe. Because I think the psychological link of like, oh, you do this like with people. And then sometimes if you are alone and you want to feel that withness, you just do it by yourself. Like, and then you notice like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I don't want to be alone. That's why I'm doing this right now. And reaching for that as the solution. And I think the search is vast. There's probably so much more that I'm probably even still searching for that I couldn't name necessarily, but I think trust, like trusting where I am, allowing myself to feel what I'm feeling, that's really been one of the sort of byproducts of the search, because I realized I was like, oh, it's not just here. Like, it's not just this mental seeking. It's not really like to understand some big picture of reality, which I think sometimes like my mind was really keen on, but really it led me to coming more into my body, more into my heart, more like down, grounded. Like I was searching out, like into the cosmos. I became an astrologer and everything was like out there. And this shift happened where I was like, oh, it's actually all in here. There's this like macrocosm, microcosm. I don't need to know everything out there to know myself. So it was just this, you know, unraveling of that awareness. And I don't know what would have been different if I was able to have access to that when I was younger. I'm hopeful that younger generations will have more access to that. I feel that everybody has their own journey, but to know yourself and to know like that there's something that is so mystical and magical about our very nature, about our very existence, that it doesn't require like exiting here to access that. Mm. Like it's already here. The magic is already here.
Yeah. 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 And I think that there's like a journey, right, to be had. And the thing with alcohol, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more about this too, is, you know, in essence, it does support a solving of problems that we don't know how to solve otherwise, because we don't have this access to this wisdom. And I think sometimes at a young age, there's even the ability to really even like understand what does all of that mean. And we kind of have to go through the feels of adolescence too, and life school to kind of figure some of that out. The unfortunate thing is solving the problem with an addictive substance that has a chemical reward becomes a habit and it can become an addiction too. So, you know, and I think that that's something where you could see like, wow, I can actually have these conversations that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And so this is supporting this problem, right? And so then the invitation is, what's possible if I gave myself the opportunity to do that, right? Because I see that it came out okay, right? In the end. So how did, I guess, solving some problems with alcohol turn into it being a quote unquote problem for you, like the alcohol itself? Mm-hmm. Like, when did you realize it wasn't what you wanted it to be, or how was that showing up in a negative way for you?
Yeah, it's definitely been probably like more than a decade in the making. Like, I think when I came to the yogic path and was a lot more physically aware of my body in my early 20s, even like 19, 18, I started realizing a lot more like how I'm physically feeling. And, oh, I feel uncomfortable if I eat this, I feel very, very tired and very, very sick if I drink this the next day, and then I'm just like kind of ruined. And then that sort of awareness definitely strengthened with the yogic path, but I had like a lot of back and forth with it. Like, I would go like a year not drinking anything, doing my solid like yoga every day, eating really well for myself. But then, and usually this is like interesting, this is something I reflected on in retrospect, then I would like meet a friend who drank, and then I would just be like, yeah, sure, whatever, like I'm stronger than this, let's go hang out. And then I would get into a pattern of drinking more again when I was kind of fine, like on my own. Mm-hmm. But I would be like more in like an ascetic, like hermit kind of vibe, not drinking. So I started to form this pattern where it's like, if I was by myself, I was like cool. But then if I was like around people, it was like a need. And so there was also like a lot of social realizations in my early 20s. Luckily, I met my partner who I'm now married to, and he like does not drink at all. So I think it was like, that was divine intervention. Sure. Because we had some interesting moments where there's definitely some experimentation with, you know, what works, what doesn't work. Even some other substances and things like that, you know, like there was some exploration, but in the end, it just kept coming down to like, I am draining my power right now. Like, I'm draining my energy. I am kind of capping myself at a certain level of experience, because it's like I would ride this wave up and like be so good and so clear and so solid in myself. And then there would be like one party that I'd go to and I just have a couple drinks. And then I felt like I could notice the downswing immediately after that. Even if I didn't feel sick, even if I only had like one or two drinks, I would just notice my energy drop. So I was like, there's obviously a correlation here, because that's the only thing I did differently. And so it started to become really subtle, and I would go like months and months and months without drinking. And then I would drink one time. And then, sometimes I would like drink too much because I was like, had no tolerance for it. Like, mm-hmm. It would be like four drinks, which like as a teenager, I was like, that was nothing. But you know, then like as a 25-year-old who doesn't drink very often, I'd be like blacked out sometimes, which is like really bad. Right. Mm-hmm. So I had these kind of extreme moments of like definitely never doing it, and then like on a rare occasion doing it. And so working with you especially kind of helped solidify me in the space of like, I have a choice to just like choose, because maybe there's something about my personality that's like an all or nothing kind of thing. And if I'm like, well, that's kind of the pattern that I've exemplified to myself, maybe I should just choose the nothing, you know, like choose like, this is a no, like I'm going to make a commitment and see what happens. That was actually something that I really loved that you said about how it's like, you know what happens, you know what it feels like to be drunk, you know what it feels like to drink and like do that thing and feel that experience, but you don't know what it feels like to like get beyond that cap of like how powerful you can be, of like how high you can go in your own energy, or how whole you can be, or just what your experience can be when you completely commit to something different. Mm-hmm. So that is, I think, very motivating for the seeker in me, because I'm like, yeah, like, let's see all of the different states of consciousness that I can reach now that maybe I had like, you know, have you ever read the book? I think it's about upper limiting, mm-hmm. like where
you just allow yourself only a certain level of happiness. And then once you get close to that, you like subconsciously do something to self-sabotage. Yeah. I think I was just doing that. Mm. That was what it was for me. And I didn't, it wasn't a conscious choice, but it was definitely like a subconscious self-sabotage kind of thing. And I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's one of the kind of plights of the human is like, we're really good. And Marianne Williamson talks about this is like her famous quote in A Return to Love about like, it's not, we're more scared basically of our power than we are of, you know, what we're not capable of. And so it's like, we're really good at beating ourselves up and kind of settling for the status quo. And like you said, having this cap of happiness, but to just go like, I'm going to go beyond, like, of course I can be proud of myself. Of course I can go to a party and not drink and like still be happy. We really limit ourselves in that. And that's why I say, let's throw a better party, because my alcohol-free life has been like the best party, and it's been challenging, but it's been so, so worth it. So were there times when you, you know, in your adult life later, like, because, you know, you had this perspective of a little bit of this challenge shift of like, oh yeah, I'm going to go see what this upper limit looks like. But were there times before, you know, you had maybe that awareness where you would have gone to say a social event and decided not to drink and felt like deprived or left out? Or was that part of the conversation you were having?
Yeah, definitely. I can say that I had like every experience, like every feeling. Mm-hmm. I would volunteer to like be the designated driver so that I would force myself to like make a choice at the beginning of the night sometimes, which I ended up really enjoying, like loving it. And I had no problem being around other people who were drinking, because I was like, this is actually really funny. Mm-hmm. Like I would still have a great time. And I think I could still do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people would appreciate that. Everybody needs a solid DD, right? Mm-hmm. But there was also times when I probably felt a little bit of like FOMO, and so would, you know, opt out of that responsibility. Or a lot of it was like, this is such a funny thing because I still use this mantra, but like, why not? Like, what do I have to lose? Like that kind of is like an underlying mantra for me, I realized, but I was kind of using it against myself. Like, why not do this bad habit? Because I'm stronger than it. Like a lot of arrogance, I think, just, and I say that lovingly, like I have a compassion for that part of myself, because I think it's also really beautiful and awesome to like, you know, believe that we can transmute and alchemize anything that we do or experience. But at the same time, I was like, but I don't have to like purposefully make this harder for myself. Like I don't have to give myself another thing to transmute. Like I didn't have that awareness yet, you know?
Right. I had to call in this thing just to beat it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I realized though that I think I did that in like all areas. I was like, I'm going to prove to myself how strong I am by attracting things to be stronger than, like, and I was like, I don't have to do that.
I love that. That's a really interesting awareness. And you know, what I think is what I really want to kind of point out to people that are listening is, you know, your relationship with alcohol was kind of like few and far between, but you still had these habitual beliefs around what drinking meant to you, or when, you know, you felt like it was maybe even necessary at times. And what I think what you said about when I made the choice at the beginning of the night, I could enjoy myself. So it was like making that choice, that conscious choice, and creating like a different emotion around it from a place of, you know, more empowerment versus if you're like wavering and indecision, how that can have that tendency to now create a different model of a different, you know, if you're in indecision, then you're not going to be in your power, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's actually one of the best strategies. And like, I feel like I've taken it to like the ultimate by like making like a life decision at this point, because yeah, like when I would say, this is what I'm going to do on this trip, or this is what I'm going to do this night out. I already felt exactly like what you said. Like, I have a plan. Like, I have a way that I'm going. I have other things that I'm going to focus on. I'm going to try this new dance groove. I don't know, like, or I'm going to make this playlist, or I'm going to like be involved in like doing something else in the energy rather than like feeling like I needed to be part of the spectacle kind of thing. Right. And when I would, yeah, when I wouldn't have that decision made ahead of time, usually in retrospect, when I was wavering, I would err to the side of just do it. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed those are like key choice points for me. I'm super aware of them now because I was like, oh, there's a waiver here. That means I should probably not make the decision right now. Mm-hmm. Because, or like, but remove myself from the situation so that I'm not like, you know, tempted, whether that's like an argument or something where there's like, oh, somebody said something, I'm wavering. Do I say something back or do I stay quiet? And I've now been like, okay, I don't know exactly what the thing to do is right now. So I'm going to go away for a couple minutes, figure it out, be like convicted more or less in my truth, and then return to the situation. And I used to not do that. I used to just like throw the dice. Mm-hmm. Luck of the draw, let's see what happens kind of thing, like more risky. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm a little bit more like calculated and like realizing that that's not a bad thing. You know, there's like, it's not a bad thing to like have a strategy and choose to be in my power. I used to see it as like that it was somehow better to just like, I equated freedom and like spontaneity with just like, do whatever comes, like, don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Just like do whatever you want. And that's what's going to either make people like you, or that's what's going to lead to the fun thing. Like, it was very, just like fly by the seat of your pants. I can't tell you how many times my parents said that to me. They're like, you're just living life flying by the seat of your pants. And I'm like, I know, it's great, isn't it? And they'd be like, yeah, it's great.
How do you see spontaneity now?
A lot more like I'm involved with the process. Like, it's, I do still sometimes make whimsical choices, but there's layers of whimsy, right? Like when it has to do with food or anything that I'm putting in my body, there's a little bit more seriousness. I'm not going to be like, yeah, just give me that candy bar. Why not? You know, cause I know what it's going to do in my body. I'm more conscious and thinking about like, I'm going to do this thing, and because of cause and effect and karma, like there will be this kind of result. And what is it that I really want? So there's like an insert of a code there that yeah. kind of helps me navigate that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that's something that I think comes up a lot for people's resistance is, you know, what about spontaneity? What about just being in the moment and going? It's like, well, you can do that. You can be in the moment. You can be in the all the other parts of the circumstance, right? But if the alcohol is just the one choice you decide not to make, like, then you're going to remember it. Then you'll remember the rest of the spontaneity.
And yeah, you'll be able to feel, exactly. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you'll be able to feel that real surge of joy and, you know, vibrancy and vitality that brings to you. So when you, cause I had remembered you talking to me about this, kind of earlier on, where even sometimes, you know, making a decision, to drink would kind of be a decision that you were making for a while. And was that kind of the tipping point for you, or like this aha moment that like, if I'm in decision of drinking all the time, like maybe there is, yeah. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I really think that it's linked intimately with general intuition and kind of like all choices, where it's like, you know, there's always that like moment before you do something where you kind of feel it, or you kind of hear it, or you kind of know it. You're like, there's charge here. Mm-hmm. Like it's either something really positive or negative or dharmic or karmic. Like you could just feel it. And I used to really ignore that. I would just be like, well, yeah, it's going to be fine. I'll just like charge ahead. And I think in the just like slowing down and pausing a little bit and like listening to that, like, okay, there's a voice here. There's a back and forth. That means that not all parts of me are in agreement. Mm-hmm. So I should probably wait until all parts of me are in agreement before I make any choice. And that required this greater listening to myself. And when it comes to like following intuition, like I had a little bit of a misguided understanding of that, because it's very easy to infiltrate intuition with fear or pattern or habit. So I had to learn how to discriminate, like, what's intuition? What's me like making a choice with all of the true information? Mm-hmm. And then what's the fear? What's the habit? What's the pattern here that I've just done? What's the pathway that I've just so comfortable with? So it was a big process of discrimination, but I found that that is actually one of the number one intuitive skills to learn. And even like my sort of like assertiveness of kind of taking back my power in the intuitive realms, because I do readings and I'm like always connecting with people and people's energy and things like that. And I used to, when I first came to intuitive skill building, I would just like sit back and be like, all right, spirit guides, tell me whatever you want me to know. Like I was just like a passive receiver because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. Because that's what a lot of people taught. They're like, just let go and don't try to do anything. And in that space, I realized I was like, oh, I'm kind of welcoming in things that maybe I don't want. Mm-hmm. Maybe certain beings, maybe certain energies, maybe certain problems that it, like I was mentioning before, like, oh, I'm stronger than anything. I'll just invite all the dark energy and see if I can overcome it. And I'm like, why would I do that? And then I learned through some really wonderful teachers that it's like, no, it's not just about opening yourself up to receive whatever's there. It's like, you are part of this. So you have agency. So you decide what you want to know. Like you don't just ask spirit, like, spirit, what do you want me to know? You say like, I would like to know more about this very specific thing. And I would like to only work with beings and guides that are connected to source and embody love. Like I'm not just welcoming any being. So that was like a parallel lesson for me, because it wasn't just like, oh yeah, just welcome any substance into your body. But it almost sounds a little bit comical, but I mean it in the most like compassionate, non-judgmental way, because I think there's like a cultural misguidance around all of this, mm-hmm. like not really knowing. And then you just kind of like a child and through guests and tests and experimentation, you just kind of figure it out eventually. But for me, it was more a figuring out of like, I'm like, I have a voice, I have agency in this. Like I'm not run by some energy outside of me unless I choose to be, right. Even subconsciously to choose to be. Yeah. By somebody else's energy.
Yeah. Well, and you know, one of the other names for alcohol are spirits. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a really interesting thing that kind of creates this other voice inside of us that really isn't in alignment. I've never seen the time where someone's like, yeah, this is totally in alignment with my higher self. I mean, literally it's never happened. Mm-hmm. So in that place, so you're stepping into your power, you're following your intuition and really guiding the energy of what that process looks like for you, and seeing that this decision is not in alignment with that, right? What's coming in. And so what was the shift that you wanted to make around that?
Mm. Well, I think similarly,
yes, even.
Yeah. I think similarly to the yoga path, I wanted to just find alignment with myself and also learn that that looks a little different than everybody else's journey, but that I still have, that means I have to be a really good listener. It means I have to be really observing the facts and sifting through the evidence of what my experiences are creating. And I feel like that's when I ultimately decided like, okay, no matter what I believe about, you know, these like big truths in the universe, my karma, my dharma, my path, my destiny, my fate, like whatever, these are all big questions that I don't know if anybody has the answer to. If you do, call me. But there was a point where I was like, well, with the information that I have and my power that I see, like this is the best choice. And it's like a trusting of myself. I think there were so many voices telling me to not trust myself, like in the outer world, that I had to like learn how to minimize them. Mm-hmm. And some of those, unfortunately, were family members, teachers, well-meaning individuals who also were seeded with doubt in themselves, that it just kind of created this like deep-seated insecurity that I felt like I could never trust what I thought was best for myself. Mm-hmm. But the more I started creating evidence, like, oh, when I'm fully in alignment with myself, I make great choices. And they're the best choices. And they don't always work out exactly the way I hope they will, but they work out to my benefit in some way, to my growth, to, you know, cultivating positive relationships with others and with myself. And it always ends better in some way than if I'm just like allowing somebody else's voice to make the decision for me.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I mean, even sometimes your own voice of habitual thinking, right? Or habitual, you know, so you talked about this upper limit, right? And was that, did you know that if alcohol continued to be part of the conversation, that would be capping your upper limit or being part of that?
It took me a while to figure that out. I think I started sitting with the idea of like an upper limit like 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I had a hard time believing it, to be honest. I was like, what? How could I do that? No way. I'm open to all of the growth and all of the love. Like, I was in denial for a long time about how I upper limited myself. And then I realized, I was like, honestly, it kind of comes like, if I went through my life, like categorically, like very South Node Virgo, I was like, I'm going to like dissect my life and organize it and like understand all these things about it. And I'm like, what's the common denominator in all of my poorer choices? And it was alcohol. And I was like, well, that's evidence, you know, like there's no denying that if I just removed that from my life, I would be so much better because I wouldn't have so much to emotionally process. I wouldn't have these like relationship dramas. Like it just like removed an issue completely so that I had more time and space to like do these other things. But it took me a very long time to get there because I was super in denial about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think was a big fear behind that?
I think the way that I perceived that it might make me look to other people like a weakness, or like I was therefore like an addict or something, or couldn't control myself, because I never had a problem. Like if I decided to say no, I was like fine and I didn't have like cravings, those kind of things. But once I got started, it would be easy for me to go overboard. Mm-hmm. Because of my personality. So a point came where I was like, I gotta say like yes or no to this. And if I say yes, I have to be like aware of the potential consequences. And I was ignoring them. And I was pretending that they didn't exist. I was like, there's probably going to be an argument with somebody at some point in this evening. And I'm going to have to accept that. Or there's probably going to be something embarrassing that I say that's out of alignment with my truth that I'm going to have to like fix another time. Mm-hmm. But I was ignoring that. I was pretending that I was intentionally blocking out that past evidence, even though other people have said those things to me. They'd be like, oh, you know, sometimes when you're drinking, you're like, you say things and you know, and I don't forget them. And I was like, you know, shit, you know, I gotta figure this out. And I was always very good at like fixing the thing, but I was like, why am I adding something to fix? Like, I'm just making more work for myself. Because I had some childhood trauma. Like it just leaks out. It leaks out when you're like, just like being like, okay, Aura, just like be open and leaking and free all over the place. And I think part of me really wanted to be like held and seen by other people to be validated for my childhood trauma or what was making me feel something strong at that time. And I was like, there's better ways for that. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm going to drink so that I feel safe to tell somebody about my feelings. And then it's messy and I don't have all of my logical faculties on board. So it's going to come out probably not the best. And it's going to create this problem. So in retrospect, that's all very obvious to me now, but it was not, because I was just in such a denial about it. And I'm still very curious about that denial. Like, I see it as something to still like unpack and unravel, because I think it's in general, like, I think as humans, we just want to be seen as good. Like, we don't ever want to be seen as like there's something bad or wrong, or even that we have shadow. And I'm a shadow worker, a light worker and a shadow worker. And it's like, it's what I do with people all the time. But sometimes I'm like, ooh, I don't want to look at my own shadow, you know, scary down there. And there's something like a real humility that I've learned in my own processing of my shadow, that I think it's not just me. You know, that was a big piece. I think that allowed me to even to release alcohol out of my life, was to know that I wasn't alone in this process. Like, that there was a lot of people who were more or less haunted by their shadow and just needed some like support to be held and seen and witnessed in that and loved and not judged. That was the thing. Like, I just felt like there's so much judgment around it, like, and shame, where it just makes you not want to look at it, because you're like, oh, I'm going to feel shame if I look at that. And it's like the number one, like, you don't want to feel that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think there was like a bravery that came when I was like, I'm stronger than that feeling. I can feel that feeling and I can process it, and it's not going to hurt me. It's just a feeling, you know? Yeah. So there's a whole bunch in there, I think, still, but now I feel I can trust myself to explore those things with my highest mental faculties, which with all of my senses on board. I don't have to dull myself to like be, because I'm afraid of feeling pain or something. Mm-hmm. Like I can feel it. And I think that you've said this before too, like, you know, the alcohol and like the emotions, like the water element, and also like repression, like emotional repression, how they're so linked. I was in denial of how much I was emotionally repressing, because I was like, I'm not emotionally repressing, I'm getting drunk and crying.
right
or like witnessing other people do that. So I was like, well, obviously there's some repression issues if this is the only way you can do it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, thank you for sharing all that, because I know that that will definitely resonate with people. And it's kind of like, you got to deal with the discomfort in sometime, like whether it's on the other side of like cleaning up from the alcohol, or in the moment of, you know, authenticity and vulnerability. And so, how did you work through a little bit, like, I mean, you talked a little bit about like knowing that everyone has it, right? Everyone has shadow. Everyone has these experiences. Is that what helped you eliminate some of those, that shame? And
yeah. Yeah. And I think also finding role models, finding mentors, finding people who've done it before, mm-hmm. finding other people who aren't afraid of their own shadow has made me feel safe to explore mine, because honestly, the people that I respect and admire the most are those people that are not, there's no story that's so shameful that it can't be shared.
I love that. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I know. And that's like, we have this story about, if I don't drink, there's something, people are going to think there's something wrong with me. But every person, there's like a collective story of the story that everyone thinks that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, but who really is thinking that, right? Like, everyone thinks I'll be shamed, and they don't really think that when they're reflecting towards other people. Right. So the truth is that no one's really actually thinking that. And in fact, when you show up authentically, there's much more times than not, people experience an admiration. Yes. Of someone in that way. And so I think that's such a pivotal piece to look at. Like, is this thought, does this thought have any validation besides like, you know, the CDC talking about alcoholism, right? Like, right. Which that's a whole other thing that we could go down. But yeah. So let's talk a little bit about coaching, and what was the decision to kind of seek, I don't know, a new strategy, or yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I had never really asked for help in that way, because it was the type of thing that I was like, oh no, I got this. Like, I'm stronger than this. But I also came to this realization because I had started doing a lot more processing of just the fact that I have blind spots and that I, you know, I'm married and I have a wonderful partner who's very reflective and listens to me, very thoughtful and kind and sensitive, but he was probably sick of me only processing my shadow, like by myself or with him, you know, there's like other people to talk to. So having a different mirror and also a mirror of somebody who literally went through the thing that I'm trying to go through and is like out on the other side and is like living her magic and like so purposeful. That's like a totally different thing than talking to somebody who's never experienced it. Mm. So it was that kind of aha moment for me where I was like, well, you know, I do trust that the universe kind of places people in my path for a reason. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I have this friend. She lives like 10 minutes away from me down the street. She like literally does the thing that I am wanting to do right now. And it just felt like, well, this is like an obvious yes. This is an obvious choice. I really trust that kind of synchronicity. I feel like if you think about it often in a repetitive way that like, oh, I should make this change. There's this change that's like calling to me. Then yes, like go make that change, because I think we start to become aware of it as we're ready. And it's like, we can catch that momentum. And it just, I feel like my whole experience with you really smoothed out the edges in my mind of mostly like what I thought like the worst thing that would happen was like people judging me at a party or something like that, right? Or people thinking that there was something off, or which, you know, there's a lot of things that I learned to accept about myself in the process. And yeah, I think having that companionship is the most important thing, to realize like, oh, I'm totally safe in this space. Like that's exactly what this space is for, is to transmute this exact thing that I want to transmute.
Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. Yay. So what do you think you were hoping to gain more clarity on when you came to coaching?
I think, well, I am always still interested in your story. And I think it's because there's something about like feminine leadership, sovereignty, like full-on acceptance of the self that really calls to me. And I see that as part of my path in some way, whether, you know, like embodying that in my own life, but also being in friendship and in community with feminine leaders and wisdom leaders. And it felt like there's like an authenticity that comes, I think, from clarity that you really embody. Like there's a clear authenticity that I really admire. And so I think for me, it was kind of this like final affirmation, this final validation that it's like, check, like you can be a sovereign, beautiful, powerful woman leader and still have a past, still have a story that you went through to heal, to become a better version of yourself. Like that you're not like born already having to be quote unquote perfect. Like right. That's not even, what is that? Mm-hmm. So I think there was like another part of me that was like, I want to see how she's doing this. You know, and
yeah, like, thank you. That's so sweet.
Yeah,
it's true. Like we are, you know, the fact that people have to like dig up the past of like, you know, it's like define your future by like digging up the past. Like, no, that's just information. Right. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, you showed up to be vulnerable, right? What were the emotions besides, I guess I just said vulnerability, but what were the other emotions that you think you needed to exhibit, you know, during the process of coaching, kind of from the beginning, middle, and end?
I think vulnerability is the biggest one for sure, but also just like being in the state of trust and faith, like really believing that I could actually change something. That it was actually possible.
Yeah.
Which in and of itself is one of the most inspiring things, because I really believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that we are not our story, and that at any moment we can shift. And all of the emotions connected to that, right? Which is a whole thing. A little bit of, and this might have been like a parallel experience, but like maybe a little bit of fear around losing certain people. But also that kind of realizing that that's not necessary or true, although I'm not in control of what other people decide to do. If I come around them and they're upset that I'm not drinking, then it's kind of like not really on me to process that. Like, I don't really have to take responsibility for other people's feelings about me in that sense. And so there's a bit of letting go of that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so about sovereignty in myself that I almost think that there's a part of me that was feeling like I needed to take responsibility for other people too, in a way that's like not actually allowing other people's sovereignty.
Yeah.
So that was a shift.
Yeah. That was one of the big things that we think we talked about quite a bit.
That was a blind spot for me, for sure. Like that was, I had never even in my, all of my 32 years, that had like never come into my mind that like, oh, me like wanting people to see me a certain way is me like denying them their sovereignty.
Yeah, I know.
And it, like, it simultaneously frees me to just like not worry about it at all. And like the actual, like how to stop caring what people think is a whole thing in this world. It's a social epidemic, right? I've actually been listening to this podcast called The Confidence Podcast. And that's like something that she talks about all the time. It's her most listened to episodes. It's like how to stop caring what other people think, because as an empath, as somebody who really does care and loves people and works with people, it was like really counterintuitive to be like, how do I do that thing? Not caring what other people think. But I think it was a reframe of vocabulary for me. Like, it's not about, I don't care what people think. It's more like, I'm not defined by what other people think, and I am my own person and they are their own person. Like, so I just had to kind of, had to do some mental cleanup really, and like get some phrases out of my head that had been there dormant for a while, but still really affecting me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, language is one of the things I talk to my clients about a lot. And I talk about on the show a lot, is the way we say something has a direct impact on the way that we feel, you know, the actual words that we use. So if there's kind of a misunderstanding of that, like, you know, you're not responsible for other people's emotions, it's like, well, but I don't want to be mean. Right. So, but you know, it's this thing where when we kind of essentially lie about who we are to placate someone else, then they don't get the opportunity to kind of decide like the truth of the situation either. So I think it's, that's kind of how I look at it, is like, I know I would not want someone to placate me and then be blindsided in 5 years and be like, dude, I would rather just like rip the band-aid off and figure it out.
Yeah. And this whole situation has given me so many insights. Like, I can just be my whole happy self around people. Like, the fear was like, oh no, if I don't take emotional responsibility for other people, that's going to make me mean. And it's like the exact opposite experience has occurred. I've definitely been more open-hearted, more present, looking more people in the eye. It's been totally game-changing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, tell us a little bit about something that you, I guess, you know, in that way that felt, you know, really scary or impossible that you were able to generate evidence for from tools or strategies that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, that I am in control of my choices. Like, I think that's the ultimate one. And seeing how, I mean, I'm an astrologer and there's always like a question of like fate and free will. In astrology, that's like one of the core issues that is like forever debated. And I'm a firm believer in that it's like kind of both, but like in our experience, we have to be like full on free will in our experience, because otherwise we're giving our power away to who knows what, right? Like, you're giving your power away to somebody else's interpretation of something. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
What this archetype says about you, that doesn't make sense either. So you still have to like be in alignment with yourself, even if there are indicators that this is your path. Mm-hmm. So you can't just be like, oh, that's what this thing says is my path. Well, it's like, is it? You still have to question it. So for me, I think there was this like final hump in that for me to be like, no, I choose this. It's not this like destiny path that's like already rewritten for me. It's like, oh, these archetypes are explorations. That's like, it's a path of curiosity, but I make the choice. There's a potential here and I'm going to choose what it's going to look like. You know, I can learn about truth and love through, you know, being really present and part of this experience, or I can learn about truth and love from a really negative experience of suffering and being blindsided and having my power taken away from me. I do think at the end, we end up at the same place,
right?
But that there's like a choice of how you're going to get there. And I choose the empowered conscious way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So how has your experience been like, so, you know, socially, like you were talking about showing up, being your whole best self, but, you know, having this experiment of, you know, not drinking, being in social settings and like, but going in with this, like, I'm making this choice and I'm not responsible for anyone else's emotions. Like, has that changed your overall result?
Honestly, I mean, it has changed it in terms of my personal results, right? Because I feel in my center the whole time.
Right.
Which is great. It's brought me to greater awareness of other areas and ways where I might have just like conceded or like done what other people are doing just for that same reason and been like, oh, I'm just not going to make that choice right now. Like, it's the choice to say no to alcohol has also like imbued me with that same divine no of just like, oh, it's not what I'm choosing to do right now. And so it's definitely bled into other areas in a very positive way. And the things that I was afraid of before, of like either, you know, not having as much fun as everybody else or people looking at me weird, honestly, it hasn't even happened. Like, nothing like that has happened. It's been like the exact opposite experience. And I'm remembering everything. Like you said, oh my gosh, this statement arrived in my consciousness in like high school. That was like from a meme before memes were a thing. It's like, I live for the nights that I'll never remember. And I was like, where did that even come from? It's like from some emo song, and no judgment against that genre. That's the world that I grew up in, you know, crying and picture from above and all these things. And I'm a
Pluto life.
Yeah. Like I have a deep emotional life, but it's, yeah, like those kinds of things that I was like, wow, that's in there and that's not true, you know? And so there's just been a lot of like really comical insights around like, wow, I was subconsciously thinking that that was true.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been just like these, all these other insights and benefits and rememberings. And I can definitely say that my already existing personal work has deepened and has kind of guided me to like these different social situations as well. I really do think it's like as simple as your vibe attracts your tribe, you know, like if you're vibing high and you're open and free and living from the heart and just being you, you're going to find the people who are doing that too. And so I've generated even more evidence of that and haven't really felt that I've like lost anybody. If anything, I lost like a shell of an old version of myself who isn't even here anymore anyways. So yeah.
Yeah. I love that so much. Yay. More power.
Yes.
Personal power. You know, one of the things that I think, and you are in this business as well, and I want to kind of end on that note too, is talking, or what I wanted to ask you really is about taking the opportunity to invest in yourself and making that decision to, you know, time, money, and energy, in a way of something that's like not necessarily tangible, right? It's not like you have this like purse, right? Or something like that. But what was that like for you in this way to invest in yourself, to invest in your self-inquiry and your self growth?
I think it's twofold. I really think that investing financially leads to commitment. So that's a big thing. I know that that's true for me. So I feel like choosing to like spend dollars on myself in this way, it gave me from the beginning a little bit more of a like, I'm going to do this. I'm doing it, you know? So there's not like, it's a decision and it's like done. Like there's not like backing out of that decision, you know? Right. And also on the other hand, like just that consistency and companionship of knowing like, this is not like a blurry, oh, I'm just like talking to my friend about how I feel, which is of course not a bad thing. You know, that's what friends are for, but there's like a boundary. And it's different when you enter a very sacred container with somebody who's like trained in that and has been learning the strategies and has been working with a lot of people. Like, I feel like I trust you because you've been doing this work. So you know this terrain. And while I have other wonderful friends who could probably listen to my experience on like alcohol or not drinking or any other choice point in my life, they're not going to have the same wisdom. They're not going to have that same lens. So I think it's also, you know, finding the person who's like the expert through experience. I really trust that kind of knowledge and container because you live it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is like trusting and noticing how that commitment, like where's the intersection between trust and commitment, and how does that reflect back on myself? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I could trust myself too, mm-hmm. to make this choice and be kind of held in that space, which I think we need more of, honestly. Like more of like, oh, I don't have to do this, all of this figuring out alone, like ultimate choices for ourselves every day. At the end of the day, like you're not making choices for me at all. I'm making all of my own choices, but there are like kind words and phrases that have replaced some of the negative ones. There are positive, helpful strategies that have replaced some of the confusion. There's like tools that I have that I didn't necessarily have so neatly before, mm-hmm. that are like tightened up. And now I'm like, okay, now I'm clear about this. I'm not confused. I think ultimately that's what I gained, is just clarity.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right. And I mean, the other thing too, is when you find that container and that expert, and like, this is like the specific thing that we're doing, right? It's like, and it expedites the process too. Cause it's like, you're like, I've been talking, thinking about this for 6 years. Right. Uh-huh. And you know, the truth is you might not have been, you know, we get to the place where we get when we get there kind of thing. So it's like, maybe that it wasn't the time for you. But what I would say is, if you've been mulling around over this for 10 years, it's like, if you haven't figured it out by now, like you can, and you know, this is true with anything, right? It's like, you can expedite these results by like commitment, container, and you know, like, and just showing up with that willingness and that trust too. Would you say that absolutely resonates?
Yeah, for sure. Cause it's like, we know that as soon as we make an intention, like the world starts to open it up to us to explore that. But sometimes, you know, in our sweet, awesome human ways, we get distracted, you know, we'll like start on this really awesome path, which I think is what happened for me multiple times. I was like, yeah, I'm on this like beautiful path of finding myself. And then it's like, oh, and then there's a party. You know, like it was just easy to get distracted, mm-hmm. before, and like not have a clear plan and not like layers of plans too, like not like beyond this month, you know, beyond this year, beyond the next 5 years, like where do I really see myself? Where do I want to be existing? What do I want my state to be like? Like what's the highest possible experience that I can have? I would like to know what that is, but that means I have to start somewhere, and I could probably start now. Like, I feel like there's this, at least for me, I can see how my choice to drink in the past was subconsciously connected to like a surrendering, but in like kind of like the lower sense, like a giving up a little bit. Not necessarily like a yes, I'm surrendering into this awesome, joyful thing. So I feel that Yeah, there's a lot more of that, like, oh, I'm surrendering to my highest good right now by surrendering this, you know, tool that no longer serves me, kind of thing.
I love that. Yeah, because it's like, it's kind of like a shadow inside of a shadow.
Riddles.
Yes. So, my friend, tell us about your personal magic that you share with the world, and even, you know, how this helps guide people through the lens of the stars. Yeah.
So I do astrology, and a lot of it is based around embodying cosmic wisdom. And so understanding archetypes, all of it to point back to yourself, to point back to your own path of self-inquiry, self-understanding, self-awareness, self-empowerment. A lot of questions, a lot of contemplation. So I do readings, but I also do longer term containers similar to you, where we can like unpack and unravel different archetypes over a longer period of time. And similar to this in terms of like pattern formation. So how can we look at like, what are the patterns? And then is there something that wants to change? Do we want to form a new habit that's really based on amplifying what's great in your life, amplifying your medicine, your already existing strengths, so that you can, you know, really live your life to the fullest. And I use the words purpose a lot, but I think it, you know, it's like our dharma, it's what we're here for. It's it could include things like career and contribution to society, but I also think it's so much bigger than that. So a lot of people come to me looking for that kind of direction or guidance. A lot of it is just validation, like, hey, is this my path? Most of the time it's like, you're on it. You know, how can we really be off of our path, right? But I do think that our perception and our perspective of ourselves and what's going on can really change everything. And so that's a lot of what I do. I teach courses, and I am forever learning.
Yes, you are the student. I love that about you. Yeah, and I see astrology, you know, I'm such a novice. And of course, we know that the energy, like you were talking about the macro and the microcosm, like we do know that we are in direct alignment with the energies that are going on around us. But it's like the stars, and they've been studied for so long, and they've been this like mystical, magical, like wonderland, you know, is just like this opportunity for this cosmic oracle, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I see it, is like you said, either validation of what you're already doing, or that deeper inquiry of that blind spot that you haven't yet mm-hmm. seen. So tell everyone how they can get a hold of your magical musings.
Yes. So the best way is my website, neurarochelle.com. And I'm also on Instagram at moon.mystic. And yeah, I'm feeling like we are on the brink of something really magical in collective consciousness.
Yes.
Like we're expanding so much. And I think that there's so much that we don't know. There's so much that we have no idea that's possible for us to experience. So why not get everything that is definitely not helping us out of the way, so that we can focus on this amazing open expansion that is here for us. So that's just where I'm at. It's pretty much how I live my day to day.
I love that so much. And Neura's readings are, and her writings are so inspirational. And I really love the way that you, yeah, it's just like, it's very inspirational. And I love the way that you put the stars into words in ways that I don't know how. And you pose, you know, really insightful and beautiful questions that I think they're really grounding. And one of the things I love thinking about astrology, and I'll kind of just say this, and something I've been thinking about a lot that's very useful in our day-to-day, when stress and fear and overwhelm take over our ability to think with our beautiful forward thinking mind, and also listen to our and hear our intuition, is that it helps us take that step back to see that, you know, we're not in this like stuck little narrow hall of culture, that we are part of this greater whole, and there is something bigger happening here. And so it's like, you know, taking that step back to have a wider lens of, you know, the narrative of culture would be a lot different if someone was telling the story. And so, wow, when we can step back and we connect to nature, which I believe is also the stars, there's so much more possibility. Like literally there's like, you see a bigger realm, you see the sky. I mean, you don't even have to like believe it. It's just there. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we can just look to the stars for guidance. We don't even have to understand them. And I think that that's what your work is really offering.
Yeah, I think you said it so beautifully. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So definitely check out Nura on her Instagram because she always has beautiful pictures and really beautiful musings. And, you know, she had like, I think you give so much value of like in time, you know, what's going on in the stars and cosmically. So sometimes like, what's going on with me? Why am I feeling this way? And you know, there's a lot of insight in that way too. So we'll make sure that you have all of the info for Nura and her beautiful offerings. Nura, you are a magical priestess. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to walk side by side on this path with you of this life. And here we are just up on the mountain.
Yes.
All right, my friend. Thank you
so much for this conversation. It's just been so lovely to share and reconnect with all of this magical path and be reminded of just how awesome life is.
Yes. You know,
how great it is when you have friends and people who are like, yes, we're committed to like living our most awesome life. I'm just so grateful to have found you.
Yes, I appreciate that. You know, actually, I am going to ask this one more question because I always ask this and I forgot. What would you tell someone who is kind of was in your situation and, you know, kind of had this back and forth for many years and contemplating changing their relationship to alcohol?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Maybe I did tell myself this in the quantum realms. And that's how I ended up here, Inception. Oh, honestly, just trust yourself. I mean, trust the process. Trust that you're here for a reason. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Mm-hmm. And there's this beautiful invitation to be even more here.
Mm. Yes, I love that. Thank you. To be even more here. Perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our beautiful listeners. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You as well. See you soon.
If a life of deeper self-mastery and feminine embodiment is calling you, but alcohol is the one constant in your way, I want to invite you to check out my one-on-one coaching program. It's your opportunity to apply the tools and principles from the show to your life one step at a time. Together, we create the safe and sacred container to explore the habit of alcohol, the power of choice, and awaken your inner light. Schedule a complimentary alignment session where I will help you uncover the next best step for you on your journey of discovering what's possible on the other side of alcohol. Follow the link in the show notes or on my website, marywagstaffcoach.com. I can't wait to connect.